Limits, like fears, are often just an illusion.
Denham Brown, three to go. Denham Brown, 4-3. No good. By George, the dream is alive.
You tell everyone or anyone that has ever doubted.
The Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions.
Thought they did not measure up.
He's dislocated some portion of his leg.
Or wanted to quit. You tell them.
Castillo looking to finish it here. He goes down again. Takes it out.
To look up.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Get up. And don't ever give up.
Get your insider sports bets from your two favorite cook fellas. Dom, the Wizard of Wagering, Moth, coming directly at you from New York City, the financial capital of the world. And Frankie, Clocker King Puma, straight out of Las Vegas, Nevada, the mecca of gambling. Join them for their weekly broadcast of sporting news, game recaps, and pro picks. Informative and entertaining. Sit back and get ready to take some notes.
Hello, hello, and welcome to EMW Sports. This is Dom Moth, the Wizard of Wagering. You like that, Frank?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm the
clocker.
Wizard. And you're the Clocker King, Frankie Puma, my partner. I want you to refer to me as the Wizard from now on, Frankie. Just call me the Wizard of Wagering. I love that title. And, you know, we don't deserve that title yet, Frankie. We don't. We don't because
you got to earn to keep it.
And we will. And we will. And we are going to try so hard. Researching, running the numbers, studying every day, every day. And, Frankie.
Injury reports.
Injury reports, we have to dare. We have to absolutely look at the injury reports. I mean, obviously, if your starting quarterback is out, then it's a no bet. And you bet the other way, and so on and so
forth. Look at the guy on the Packers.
Jordy Nelson.
That's a big hit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is a big hit. And it's funny you should mention it, Frank. Not this week, not next week, but the week after the opening weekend, we are going to be on the air the night before the Sunday that the season starts. And Frankie and I are going to predict the Super Bowl and who should win it. It's not an easy thing to do. But that Jordy Nelson is a big, big hurting on the Packers, Frankie. Big time. Anyhow, we got to open the show up. And we have to do it sacrilegiously with Deflategate. And this is one of those weeks, Frankie, where there wasn't a peep anywhere about it. The computer, I've checked out, I researched newspapers and, the media on television, and nothing's going on. It's still status quo. In other words, Frankie, we're still in the same position we were months and months ago. They still haven't come to a resolution or an agreement, and it just drives me nuts. He's got a 4-game suspension, this Tom Brady. Then serve your 4 games and stop being selfish to take the limelight away from the good things that are going to be coming up soon, and that's the season kicking off. You know what I'm saying, Frank? We want our attention on some positivity, not negativity. And unfortunately, tonight, I got a little bit of negative stuff that I'm going to speak about, but what are you going to do? That's just the way it's going. And the reason why we're bringing up these things, Frankie, I want to know if you agree, and I know that you agree, Frank, but I want you to let everybody know out there, when we speak about the Deflategate, and sometimes we'll bring up domestic violence suspensions and all this other stuff, we're not indicting the NFL. We are trying to protect it. So the more you speak about it, the more I feel that they will isolate problems and fix them, find solutions. Get the garbage and the junk out of the league. Figure it out. I don't know how you have to do it. That's their job in which to do it. We want to protect the sport. We love the NFL. We are huge fans. Frankie, do you agree?
100%.
I mean, we love it. We love football. We want to protect it. We are no way, shape, or form indicting the NFL.
Well,
we just want to make sure they get it right to keep it going.
The reason why we love the NFL, I can't stand baseball. I can't stand hockey. I can't stand golf. I can't stand basketball. Want me to go on?
No, I think you covered it all. Why don't you just say you hate every other sport and love what about tennis?
Tennis is okay if it's the top two or three. Otherwise, it's not watchable. And I like a good boxing match every now and then. That's hard to get. Even the great thing was the Pacquiao was a terrible fight. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to bring that up. But I've got something NFL-related I really like to share with everybody out there. Frank, I mentioned it to you before we went on the air. And another thing, ladies and gentlemen, we go on live. This is not rehearsed. We are speaking to you live. All of our shows are live and on the air. Nothing's rehearsed. Nothing's practiced. So bear with us like you have been bearing, and it's very much appreciated. Now, there is, for the NFL, when rookies get drafted. Now, Frank, I mentioned this to you prior to the show, and this is going to be fresh to Frankie because he didn't hear about it. What happened here is Chris Carter, Hall of Fame wide receiver, gave a speech at the Rookie Symposium. Now, rookies are drafted by NFL teams right out of college. They're very young. They're impressionable, obviously. And they kind of need, no, they definitely need some type of guidance. Now, the Rookie Symposium, after these rookies are drafted by their teams, I mean, they don't even go to preseason. They go to this particular symposium, which is, you know, there's agents and lawyers, and I guess there's business managers and all kinds of stuff, you know, for these rookies to, you know, write down and follow particular guidelines and just, you know, to follow steps into being, a good stand-up football player and a good citizen. Anyhow, Chris Carter went to the Rookie Symposium with a one Warren Sapp. He was wearing his Hall of Fame mustard-colored jacket. Now, you listening, Frankie? Now, he gave a speech, and I took the liberty of writing it all down. I didn't want to mess up a word, add a word, you know, subtract a word. This is words verbatim and in quotes what Chris Carter said at the Rookie Symposium. Once again, this is sort of, all these rookies. Fresh out of college, they're kids. They're kids. They really, they're not men. And if I was drafted as a rookie, Frank, wouldn't you view a Hall of Fame player as someone to listen to for advice?
Like a big brother.
Because if you think about it, like all sports and a lot of corporations, it's like a big fraternity. You all look out for each other. It's a brotherhood. It's like a union, a carpenter's union, a plumber's union. You know, you look out for each other. Firemen, policemen. Well, this is an accomplished wide receiver who's in the Hall of Fame.
And he knocked the Flategate.
What was that?
He knocked the Flategate. He said Brady had an advantage.
Oh, he said that Brady. He agreed that Brady had an advantage with smaller footballs.
And he also said it's easy to catch the ball, and he knows it for a fact. Go ahead.
Well, Frankie, less air, smaller ball, easier to throw, easier to catch. It's common sense.
He admitted it, and he spoke the truth instead of the pussyfooting around. Well, go ahead. Finish the story.
I like that. Anyhow, this is in quotes. He's on the podium, and this is what he tells the new rookies. And here it goes. Frank, I want you to hear this because you You don't know anything about the story.
No.
And I don't know about anybody out there. If you heard this story, sorry to repeat it, but you got to hear this. Just in case y'all not going to do the right thing, if y'all got a crew, they got to have a fall guy in the crew. You heard that, right? Just in case, I'm going to have to repeat that. I'm so sorry. Once again, I said it was live. Just in case y'all not going to decide to do the right thing, if y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew. Now, at this very moment, he calls up one of the rookies. And at the time when he gave the speech, Teddy Bridgewater, who's a starting quarterback now on the Minnesota Vikings, steps up to the podium. And he continues, Chris Carter, saying, Now I let my homeboys know y'all wanna keep rolling like this, then I need to know who gonna be the fall guy. Who gonna be drinking, because y'all all not going to do the right stuff now, all right? So I got to teach y'all how to get around this stuff too. If you gonna have a crew, one of them fools got to know he going to jail. We'll get him out. Now, hold on. I'm going to continue. Now he addresses Teddy Bridgewater directly as he's on the podium. Now, you from Miami. Now, okay, y'all take care of each other. Now, don't you got a guy that would take care of you, and that would be a good deal? And Bridgewater doesn't say anything. Teddy Bridgewater says nothing and returns back to his seat. If you're going to have a crew, make sure you know who's going to be the fall guy, okay? I know none of y'all going to drink late. I know none of y'all going to never use drugs. And all of you going to go to Bible study. I realize that. But still, get you a fall guy, okay? If you're going to have a crew, make sure they understand can't nothing happen to you. Your name can't be in lights under no circumstances, all right? Y'all understand that? Frankie. End quote, by the way. Frankie?
This guy didn't graduate college, obviously.
No. Honestly, I think he did. Look, I've seen him on TV. He knows how to speak proper English.
Yeah, what is that?
That he's in my opinion, he's trying to use, like, sort of Ebonics and trying to, you know, be cool and in and, yo, what's up? You know, all that kind of stuff. Chris Carter, a little reminder. You're 60. You're a senior citizen, all right? No time for Ebonics at your age. Grow up. That's me telling you. That's my opinion, all right? Don't speak like that. It doesn't sound very educated.
If he spoke like that on the air, he would have got fired.
No, ESPN, please, ESPN.
If he spoke like that on the air, they wouldn't keep him on the show.
But, Frankie, this is what he tells a group of rookies. These rookies, okay?
Who invited him up there?
The NFL. Oh, and by the way, if anybody wants to, I mean, I tried the best I could. I wrote the speech down. And it's kind of hard to say words like y'all and gonna and all that, you know, so much. If anybody wants to see this video, guess where this video is posted? You're not going to believe this. NFL.com, the NFL's official website, has this video. And another thing, this just did not happen. This happened last June, over 14 months ago. And it's been on the NFL's website all this time. And because someone noticed it and brought it to, you know, I guess the media's attention, now there's a problem. It doesn't make sense, Frank. Look,
no.
And then after he says this stuff, which is on video, and he gives this beautiful speech to these, you know, unknowing rookies that are, like, looking at him with sparkles in their eyes because, wow, a true Hall of Famer. That's what I want to do when I, you know, every rookie wants to achieve that. That's got to be their dreams, okay, to be successful and be the best at their craft, I'm sure. Anyhow, ESPN puts out a statement, and their statement reads, we completely disagree with Chris Carter's remarks, and we have made that extremely clear to him. Those views were entirely his own and do not reflect our company's point of view in any way. End quote. That's ESPN. Gee whiz. Are you going to suspend the guy? Are you going to fire the guy? What's going to happen? That's ESPN's statement. Now, Chris Carter tweeted out, and this is what he tweeted, quote, seeing that video has made me realize how wrong I was. I was brought there to educate young people, and instead I gave them very bad advice. Every person should take responsibility for his own actions. I'm sorry and truly regret what I said that day. End quote. Now, Frank, this is 14 months later. This is 14 months later. Should he have not apologized the very next day for making such a horrific, in my opinion, it's a horrible speech. It's horrible, horrible, horrible advice. In other words, hey, go do some drugs, get drunk, drive while you're drunk, you know, do whatever you want. Just make sure you got a fall guy to take the rap. We'll get him out of jail later, no problem. Frankie, what do you think of that beautiful advice, Frank? What's your take on what he said?
Like you said, he should have said, apologized right after that speech. Terrible.
First of all, maybe he shouldn't have said any of this stuff at all, okay?
I don't know the reason why he did it like this. It's really ignorant.
You know,
it's ignorant.
It is. And I'll tell you, it's uneducated because he's working for ESPN. It's a sports network. He covers the NFL. Has he not seen what's been going on with suspensions and all the problems that the NFL's been having recently with the law? Is he paying attention? I mean, it's a vicious cycle here. It keeps getting repeated. Suspensions, drunk driving, drug possession, domestic violence. What is he doing? A fool guy is not the answer, Frankie. It's just not. And he's telling kids that. And you know what? I want to hear him tell his kids because I'm sure he's got them. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's got grandchildren. He probably does. Does have grandchildren. Would he say that to his own children, Frank? He get a fall guy?
He used to have a drinking problem 2 years ago. You know that, right?
No. Hold on a second. That's another thing I want to bring up. This is coming from a guy, okay, that was drafted. He played for Ohio State. Got drafted in the fourth round by the Philadelphia Eagles in the late 80s. Matter of fact, Buddy Ryan, that Buddy Ryan, who's the father of the Rex Ryan, was the head coach at the time. And after 2 years of playing with the Eagles, Buddy Ryan decided to let him go. And the reason why he let him go is because Chris Carter, to his own admission, was drinking, doing ecstasy, doing cocaine, and marijuana. He cleaned his act up. He wound up going to the Vikings, reinventing himself, rehabilitating himself.
Yeah.
And Frank, he had a great second career with the Vikings. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. He fixed himself.
Let me ask you a question, Dominic. Who was this fall guy?
Somebody in the crew. You got to get you a fall. If you're going to have a crew, who's the fall guy? Somebody in the crew. Hey, look, in this quote, Frankie, that I wrote down, it's obvious that at one point he says, if you want to keep rolling in this crew, then I need to know who's going to be the fall guy. Who going to be?
I got to listen to this video. I'm definitely going to check this out. I can't
NFL.com. NFL.com.
I'm going to check it out.
And I'll tell you, anybody that, let's say, assuming the NFL, you know, had a half a brain and decided to take that video down, just Google it, you'll find it. You know, Chris Carter's speech or whatever, you will find it. You will find it. And by the way, Frankie, Warren Sapp was also at the symposium. And these guys' jobs, the NFL gets these guys to talk to the rookies you know, to get them on the straight and narrow path to behave and so on and so forth. This is advice to be a mess up, a screw up. Just blame somebody else. Yeah, you can screw up. Just make sure you don't get in trouble for it. Get somebody else to get in trouble for you. It doesn't make sense to me.
They got a real nitwit.
You know, and Warren Sapp, you know, I don't want to say anything, but the NFL couldn't have chose somebody else in which to speak to these kids. I mean, as far as I know, Warren Sapp, he's bankrupt. Sorry about that. Mismanaged his own money. That's irresponsibility.
Well, he's got the right name. He's a Sapp.
Yeah, well, anyhow, he also driving under the influence. He's had possession. And the last thing I remember, Frankie, last Super Bowl, he got arrested the night the Super Bowl ended because he... I can't make this stuff up, people. He got arrested because he assaulted a prostitute. The argument was over price. That is just, you can't make it up. It's true. And the NFL Network fired him because of that situation.
Yeah.
Frankie assaulted a prostitute. I mean, it was a sting operation, but he beat her up. Whatever, you know, allegedly. Oh, I got to add that in. Allegedly. I don't know. You know, I wasn't there. I didn't see if it happened or whatever. But he lost his job over it and still doesn't work at the NFL network. So perhaps it does have substance. Nonetheless, horrible, terrible. And you know what, Frankie, this Fall Guy stuff, just like you were asking, who's going to be the Fall Guy? Frankie, you could always get a Fall Guy, okay? You could always get a Fall Guy. As a matter of fact, Frankie.
No, I know. You missed what I meant. You missed what I said. Who was his fall guy when he was drunk and acting like an idiot?
I don't know. That's a great question.
If I see him, I'm going to ask him, where's your fall guy, dude?
Yeah, where is your fall guy? Obviously, you're going to need one when you're doing, you know, to his own admission, a big amount of ecstasy, cocaine, marijuana, and he was drinking as well. That's a bad combination. So, you know, he had a drug problem and an alcohol problem, but, Frank, the guy rehabilitated himself and probably looked in the mirror and said, I got to change, and he did. That's something he should speak about, not getting a fall guy, looking for an excuse once again. You know what I mean? Not taking responsibility for your actions, Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? Anyhow, everybody knows what happened last year with the Rice, Ray Rice and his wife in the elevator. Now, prior to that video, Frankie, his wife, Janae, was stating that it was her fault. She started with him. She antagonized him. And unfortunately, it got physical. And that was understandable. And I believed it. And I mean, why not? You know, hey, mistakes happen. She got in his face, she said, and she was pointing a finger in his face. And, you know, she gassed him up, and he reacted. This is what she was saying until the video came out. Then she wasn't the fall guy anymore, was she? Because that didn't work out very well, being the fall guy. Am I right, Frank?
He's right.
She took the rap for it. She tried to protect him. Meanwhile, she was
because
the victim.
Because there's a reason why she wanted to protect him. To go back in the league and make some more money.
Mm-hmm.
What about money? You don't want him home with her. Get out. Go get a job.
It's just unbelievable. Hey, more Fall Guys. How about this, Frank? I got a good one, too. How about those two stooges in the Patriots locker room? All right? The guys who actually took air out of the football so Tom Brady could have a smaller ball to throw and the receivers could have a smaller ball to catch. Oh, and the kicker can kick a softer ball right through the uprights. And by the way, I mean, it just kills me with Deflategate nonsense anyway, and it's going to come to a head because they don't have a choice. The season's upon us, thank God, and we don't have to talk about this nonsense, and they better suspend the guy. He must be suspended. But the thing is, Frankie, you know that after the referees checked the balls, okay, the balls wound up in the men's room with those two stooges. It was in the men's room. The NFL obtained videotape, Frankie, that after the referees checked the balls, the guys were supposed to bring the balls onto the field, but they made a detour, And they were in that bathroom a good 20 minutes or so, whatever. You know, enough time in order to take the air out of the football.
Yeah, just take a pin in the ball. Yeah. Comes right out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's proof, you know. And another thing, Brady broke his phone, but, you know, he didn't do it himself. He said he gave it to his assistant. And his assistant said, yeah, I broke it in a million pieces. You know, Brady didn't do that because he had a fall guy.
But Brady now says recently that he would take the suspension only because he didn't cooperate. What is that kind of stupid talk is that? He's saying that he's admitting he's guilty. Didn't cooperate because he was guilty. That's why.
Yeah, you know, Frank, the verdict is in on the court of public opinion. In other words, the fans, the people in football, players, coaches, the fans of football, we know what time it is. You took air out of the balls. Step up. Man up. Because in the very beginning, the guy was saying, well, I didn't know that was a big deal. Well, then just say that. That was taken out, and I'm sorry. I'll pay the fine, and that's it. Move on. Because that was the penalty, Frank. It was a fine.
Yeah, equipment violation, yeah. He didn't say that because he was guilty. He got caught red-handed. And, you know, he's affecting the betting in Vegas. You know, the Seattle Seahawks and all the teams around Green Bay Packers, you can bet the over and unders how many games they're going to win. You can't bet the Patriots.
They're off the board.
Yeah, you're off the board because of that nonsense.
How about with the Super Bowl situation? You know, they usually have odds on who should make it to the Super Bowl and who should win the Super Bowl. What's the odds on the Patriots now? Who knows how long it's going to be? Is it going to be two games, four? It just should be four games, take your punishment, and move on.
They're 6-1.
They're 6-1? Yeah, I... That was lousy odds, I think. Because whatever. They lost a lot of defense. They lost their defensive backfield completely. Okay, who's the cornerback on that team? Brady's a year older, and he's got to use real sized footballs now. So
it might be a different game. Also,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you know, the last 10 years. They won at least 10 games or more, like that. They set a record. So now the over and under would have been 10, but it's not up because of what's going on.
And you know what else they accomplished? They won the division 11 out of 12 years. That is some accomplishment, even though they're in a poo-poo league. You know, they're in the division with the Jets and the Bills and the Dolphins. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty good.
You pretty much got to show up and you got a good shot at being first. I mean, that is definitely the NFC. The AFC East is the AFC least.
You don't have a quarterback for 10 years. That's what you get. That's the kind of performance you get.
Well, they had Tom Brady's been the quarterback that had success, but the other teams, like you mentioned, the Bills, still having quarterback trouble. They have four quarterbacks.
No. Tannenbaum is probably a mediocre quarterback, but he's better than the rest.
Oh, yeah, Miami? He's not that bad at all. Not at all. I think Miami may give them a run for the money, but I'm also considering the fact that Brady should be out four games. Tom Brady should be out for four games. I'm including that in my mind. He should not play, period. He got
a
suspension.
I'll give you a tip. I think... Right now, the line I saw with no circle was 3.5. Their favorite, the Patriots at home. Assuming that's with Brady.
Over the Pittsburgh Steelers, is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah, they open up. I think that what they that's right. They got to open up in prime time. They won the Super Bowls. Every team.
Thursday night game.
There you go. Every team that wins the Super Bowl plays the very first contest the following year. Every single – that's the way it works. That's how they do the schedule. You win the Super Bowl, boom. You're the first game. You're the first team that everybody gets to watch. And now I hope it's Brady-less, and I hope they get their asses handed to them. And Pittsburgh looks like they're going to do a lot of damage this year. I really want to talk about football, but we got to hold out until we discuss football and strictly football. And that day will be coming real soon, Frankie. 2 weeks away from it, baby. Speaking of, let me go off topic for a second. We did last week, I remember we sort of congratulated Tiger Woods for winning. He was in a tournament last week, right, Frankie?
Yeah.
And he was the leader on the leaderboard. He had, and now he only went on the tournament so that he can qualify for the FedEx Cup. Turns out, when you and I spoke, he was in first place, but I think, you know, the next day on Sunday, he didn't do so well. He finished in 10th place and did not qualify for the FedEx Cup. And speaking of golf, which I do have to mention, Jordan Spieth missed the cut on the next tournament. So he was number one golfer. Check this out. Jordan Spieth was the number one golfer in the world for the last 2 weeks. Because he missed the cut, Rory McIlroy is back to being number one. So he enjoyed being number one for two lousy weeks, Jordan Spieth. Unbelievable.
I think Tiger's going to pack it in.
Well, why should he? He can't play. He's
not a golfer.
I understand, but Frankie, he gets so much airtime on these sports shows. Whenever golf is mentioned, somehow, some way, they sneak Tiger in there. Always Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods. It is time, in my opinion, Frank, it's time for him to just hang it up and walk away. But he gets a lot of money. He makes a lot of money. Why would you walk away for being subpar at your job and you're getting paid? Nice. You know what I mean? He's getting overpaid.
I don't know about his sponsors anymore. He can't hit a ball in the hole. He's terrible. He got to be a terrible golfer.
It's a shame. I saw
a picture of his home in Florida. Wow. Man, he knows how to buy a house, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but when he got divorced, his wife raised the entire house. She leveled it and built a fresh one on top of the lot that it stood on, the prior house. Wow. Why not?
Got a helicopter poise. It's beautiful.
I'm sure it is, Frank. We should have learned how to play golf back in the day. You know? I can't play golf. I never played golf in my life. Golf. We're talking about golf, Frank. Golf. No more golf. Anyway, I really... Going back to this Chris Carter speech, Frank. He apologized. ESPN apologized. But I think, because it was a year ago, I think the impression was already made on the rookies. What do you think about this speech, Frank? And another thing, did you remember the commercial last year, the NFL, because of the domestic violence that was happening rampantly last year in the NFL, there was a commercial versus domestic violence. You know, have you been abused physically, so on and so forth. He was on a commercial, Frankie, just, you know, with his face crying. I mean, what is that? After what he said, I don't believe it. And I really like Chris Carter. I really, really did. I'm not crazy about the guy anymore because he's a hypocrite. In my opinion, Chris Carter is a hypocrite. Shame. Shame. I mean, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. Anyway, I want to get back to something, but I'm going to bring it up after the break. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to get a message from our sponsor and also an update. This is EMW Sports Broadcasting.
Howdy, y'all. Come on down to Texas for the first annual Mineral Wells Paracon 2015 from Friday, December 4th to Sunday, December 6th. Join Lisa Lamrock of Spurs, Texas, with Danielle Passione and Bill Bachman of Uchi by Incarnate Broadcast Network as they give a warm southern welcome to Scott Gruenwald of Paranormal Paparazzi and Ghost Adventures, John Tinney of Ghost Stalkers and WeirdLectures.com, Brian J. Cano of The Haunted Collector on Sci-Fi. Also from Sci-Fi will be Molly O'Connelly from Killer Contact and Randy Hardy of Deep South Paranormal. From the Bio Channel, Chelsea DeMolly, and from the Travel Channel, we'll have John Brightman. Deacon Christina Rake will be there, along with Coyote Chris Sutton, Selena Roan, Alejandro Dominguez with his new documentary Haunted Lockdown, and from Spook TV, Christopher St. Spook. Deacon Christina Rake will kick off the festivities with a ceremony for the men and women of our armed forces, attended by the Patriot Guard riders. There will be an investigation at both the Haunted Hill House and VFW Post 2399, as well as lectures, vendors, and parties. Stick around and you might get to witness the wedding. Come on out and be a part of this extravaganza. For ticket information, go to www.mwp2015.com. We'll be right back.
Mineral Wells PowerCon 2015 is brought to you by Incubi Incarnate Broadcast Network, Spurs Texas, Brian Hathaway, Clark Garden, Fuzzy's Taco Shop, George Turner, Ghost Stalkers North Texas, Neo Show Paranormal Investigators, Vita Ortiz, and the New Mexico Paranormal Association. You're listening to the East Meets West Sports Broadcast, the fastest hour in sports talk radio. Now, your EMW Sports Update with Bill Bachman.
In NFL news, the injury bug has hit NFL teams this preseason as several players are already done for the year, including Orlando Scandrick of the Cowboys, Junior Gallette of the Redskins, and Jordy Nelson of the Packers. RG3 suffered another concussion in last week's game against the Lions. The Skins are expecting Kirk Cousins to start Week 1. And players are getting paid. Some notable signings this week include wide receiver Julio Jones of the Falcons signing a 5-year extension worth $71.25 million, and the Redskins signed Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams to a new 5-year extension worth $66 million. In Major League Baseball, with ESPN's suspension of Curt Schilling for comparing extremist Muslims to Nazis on Twitter, Jessica Mendoza became the first female to ever call an MLB game on the network. And Blue Jays designated hitter Edwin Encarnacion hits 3 home runs against Detroit, including a grand slam in Saturday's game. And college football is back, and the early rankings are as follows. Number 5, Michigan State. Number 4, Baylor. Number 3, Alabama. Number 2, TCU. And number 1 is Ohio State.
This has been your EMW Sports Update on the Incubi Incarnate Broadcast Network. And now, back to Dom, the Wizard of Wagering Muff, and Frankie, the Clocker King Puma.
Thank you for that update. Frankie, you there, buddy?
Yes, I is.
Talk to me, please.
Okay, let's talk about football, our favorite subject. Let me just show you how smart the casinos are. I want to give you a few teams that are in the limelight. They're good teams, and you give me a guess what you think they're going to be, the totals, because there's a lot of betting going on the totals of over and under
now,
the wins for the year.
All right? Explain to everybody out there, the totals meaning total of wins, the total of
right.
Which you can bet a particular team, if you got a favorite team, whatever, or if you like a particular team in which to bet, they'll have a total, let's say, 10. So they got to win over 10 games, or you could say, oh, they're not that good this year. They're going to win under 10 games. Then you could have a different team with a different number, like, say, the Cleveland Browns probably be around 6 games this year. And you could bet whether they win, you know, under 6 games or over 6 games. Obviously, if they win 6 games, it's no bet. It's a push. But on a lot of these choices, they have 6.5 and 8.5. So if you bet under or over, you have to win either way. That's what I believe it or not, there exists a half of a game when it comes to wagering upon how many wins a team can have at the end of the season. Now we got that out of the way, Frankie. I want to guess.
So you said it first. You said the Cleveland Browns. What do you think the over and under is for the Cleveland Browns?
6.
Nope. 6.5. They make it tough. They know what they're doing. And if you bet the over, it's +120. If you bet the under, it's -150. They got you coming and going. All right, that's one. All right. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, the Seattle Shithawks, I mean. Go ahead.
11.5.
11.
Wow.
And -135 for the over. And +105 for the under. And now with the Green Bay's up there because they lost that receiver. Do Green Bay.
Do you know what the odds, or should I say, how many games were they expected to win before Jordy Nelson got hurt? Did they adjust it because of the injury, or they left it the same?
Yeah, right now it's the same.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, 1,200 yards receiving and 13 touchdowns. That's what they're going into the season not going to have. Last year,
didn't he have 30 receptions or something? Like the next best guy was 13?
No, he's a dominant player. 13 touchdowns and like 1,200 yards, something around that area.
Yeah.
Even more with the yardage, but a lot of receptions as well.
All right, just want to give you a tough team. The Packers are 11. All right, now the Colts.
You're asking me to guess, and you're giving me the number right after it, brother.
Well, that's because you're taking too long to give me the answer.
You never asked.
All right, the Dallas Cowboys.
10.5.
9.5.
Damn it.
All right. The Eagles.
10.5.
9.5.
Oh, come on.
All right, I'm not telling you. I'll fast it to you. Denver Broncos.
10.5.
That's it. There's the man. All right.
Hey, I got out of what? Six?
How about the Dolphins?
Oh, the Dolphins. That's, you know, after they signed Ndamukong Suh, you know, they signed a couple receivers. Tannenbaum is looking better. I don't know, Frank. I don't know if it's fool's gold or whatever, but I think Miami's going to make a little noise. I really, really do. And I also think the Bills are going to be competitive. I think the Jets are going to be okay. You know, I think it's going to be an improved division completely. Miami should be 9.5. Nine games.
They're not. They're exactly nine.
There you go.
Yeah, you're doing good. All right, I got to give you – now, your team, the Giants, this is a tough one.
Of course it's a tough one. 9.
8.5. You made it tough.
I was going to say that, too.
I go under on that one. That's a big under bet. But you know what? It's under is minus 145. And if you go over 8.5, it's plus 115. They're so smart. That's why we're going to take them down. You're going to get some money out of them. They just think they're so smart. You got to read between the lines.
Yeah, of course you do. You know, that half game does a lot. It really does. In other words, Frank, are there any solid numbers on the sheet? Do you have any solid numbers?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. But there's a lot of half games on there as well. I'm just curious, you know, compare the half after the number to the solid number.
Okay.
Is it 50-50?
It's almost 50. It's almost 50-50.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. There's a lot of halves.
Las Vegas doesn't like to tie. They don't like to tie or what's called a push in the business. In other words, if you make a bet, if a team's going to win, let's say, you know, whatever, like I had said, six games, and they do win six games, and you bet whether you bet under or over, it landed on the number, you just get your money back. Las Vegas wants to either win or lose. Well, they want to win. They don't like refunding money, and they hate paying winners. So it's very difficult to win at wagering. I mean, people think, Frank, that it's easy to bet on football. It's not. It's difficult. Las Vegas is very prepared. They have a bunch of bean counters. These are sharpies. These are guys, you know, they're math whizzes. They're geniuses. They are. They just know how to make lines. They know what they're doing. It's hard to compete with them. It's great. We've been successful. We have.
Just picture a room full of Google people.
Yeah. I mean, Frank, they're head and shoulders. That's similar to us, but they do it for a living. That's all they do are making lines, making the odds. It's not they don't throw a number.
To confuse you. They want you to take the points and not take the points. That's what they do. They want to stop your betting strategy.
Exactly. And, you know, they also have passed, they have sort of a cycle on how people bet. They have a gauge. If they put number three up, they'll take the underdog 70% of the time. I mean, they have tests. They have all the historical records because all the wagering, obviously, now is done on computers. All the information is there. They know what they are doing. I mean, Las Vegas isn't getting any smaller. They're not building those casinos on winners either, okay? You are paying for those casinos. Gamblers are paying. Hey, Frank, do you know if someone – they did a survey. I forgot who had done it. They had 100 people. You know, they were avid players. You know, some were avid players. They go every week. They go to casinos to play the tables. No sports betting involved at all. This was strictly for the tables, whether you got craps, you know, roulette, slot machines, blackjack, baccarat, all your table games in the casino. And they did a survey for 2 years, Frank. They sent in 100 people at a time, and I believe they did it like a dozen times where they sent 100 people into a casino or whatever, and whether they won or lost, they would take down all the figures. Do you know, Frankie, I want you to see if you can guess this. Out of 10 people, on average, that go into a casino to bet, to wager, to have a good time, whatever the reason may be, okay, how many people do you think walk out of a casino with more money that they went into the casino with? How many winners?
Out of 100?
Yeah, you know what? Make it out of, you know, out of 10, out of 100, doesn't matter. You could round it off. Out of 100 people, right. how many of those people leave the casino with more money than what they arrived there with?
10%.
Wow, on the head. That's on the head. Exactly. That's exactly the figure they got. Obviously, I shouldn't have asked you that question because you lived there, so you would know. Yeah, Frankie, only 1 out of 10 gamblers wins.
And that's only that day. They come back the next day, they'll lose.
They'll lose. If you go by percentages, Frankie, they'll lose for the next 9 days, which means they're winning.
Yeah, exactly right. You know what I don't understand? You know, I'm from New York, and there was no casinos. But the people here on Friday and Saturday night when they get paid, the casinos are packed. They're at the slot machines, which is the one on Bandits. Where do they get their money to waste? It's a no-win situation, and they still don't learn. They just throw it away. You can't win, and they don't care.
Frankie, a lot of things that people do in life is through memory. And what most people do, you know, I'm one of those people. Like, listen, I'm not calling anybody out here. I'm also one of those people. I used to go a lot to Atlantic City until I realized, okay, you know what? This isn't working out for me at all. The free rooms, the free dinners, the gifts they give you. My God, they treat you like a king. But as soon as you're broke, they want you to leave. We need your room. You know, because they know if you're gambling or not. They know when you run out of money. They know to the dollar whether you have won or lost, because every time you walk up to a table, you give them what's called a VIP card. A VIP card is their what they call comp card. So the more that you play, the more free stuff they give you. They say it's on time, but I don't know, Frank, if it's time or wins and losses, or it's some kind of equation, but everybody gives it in. And that's out of casinos what they call they rate you. They rate you as a player.
It's about time. It's not about, everybody thinks about the cash. It's the time. They want you to be there for hours and grind them out so they can addict you. It's all about drinking, spending their food, spending time there. They want you to get addicted to the lifestyle. It's a fact. The flesh is weak and people are weak. Everybody wants to get easy money for doing nothing. It doesn't work that way. They're set up to steal your money, and they do.
Well,
let me just bring up a fact. Remember the Giants when they beat the damn Patriots the second time?
Oh, that was great.
After that year,
no, the first time
all the odds changed with the laying money and points, and everything went upside down. They got killed. They got killed in that game.
I love that. I've asked you to tell me the story so like at least a handful of times. I remember the first time that the Patriots and the Giants met in the Super Bowl. The Giants were heavy underdogs, and for those of you who don't remember, the Patriots were going for a perfect year, a perfect record, and that was the year where the Patriots were beating teams up 45-10, you know, 35-3. They were just destroying everybody. They were on a mission that year. Everything was clicking and going right for the Patriots. So, obviously, you got a perfect record. You're going to make it to the Super Bowl if you're undefeated, and they were. The Giants, they made it to the Super Bowl. I'm going to be honest. I'm a Giant fan. I didn't think they had a shot, Frankie, and that's my honest opinion. I did not think they had a shot. But what did Las Vegas do? They offered, there was two wagers that you could make on that one particular game. When you have the Super Bowl and there's only one game to bet, Las Vegas gives what's called prop bets, you know, how many touchdowns, how many yards. Then they also give you odds. So, in other words, you were able, Frank, I think it was 12 points, right? 11 and a half points.
Right.
Right. The Giants were underdog, or should I say the Patriots were favored by 11 and a half points, which means if you bet the Patriots, you have to win by 12 or more points to win your bet.
Right.
But on the reversal, if you take the points and you're with the Giants, you could lose. You could lose by 10 and still get paid as long as you don't lose by more than 12 points. Oh, actually 11 and a half points. And there was also, because it was a Super Bowl, they had odds. And you told me it was 13-1, Frankie?
It opened up at 14-1 and it slowly went down as it got closer to game time.
And everybody in that particular year, for whatever reason, they all bet the odds. Is that right, Frankie?
That's right.
They all won.
Yeah.
That's a great story you told me. And, Frank, how long did it take just from that one game, the casinos, the entire city of Las Vegas took such a wallop, how long did it take for them to recover the money that they lost on that one game, Frank?
It said it would take them a couple of years to get that back. That was a big hit.
2 years to get back the money they lost on that one game because everybody took the odds. So if you had $100 and you just think the Giants were going to win, you're getting back $1,500. Your original $100.
They got killed.
My God. And now, Frank, I don't think they got killed by big players. I think they got killed by Giant fans, you know, who put, you know, $100, $200, $300. You know, nobody put thousands and thousands because nobody, and including myself, thought that they were gonna win that game. I truly did not think they were gonna win that game, Frank.
All the Mercury Morris and all the Miami Dolphins bet heavy on the Giants.
That's right, because the Dolphins, the 1972 Dolphins, as history shows us in the NFL, the only team in history that has ever gone undefeated wire to wire, which means they won the first game all the way to the Super Bowl, are the Miami Dolphins of 1972. And Mercury Morris, was he the running back of the Dolphins back then, Frank?
Yes, he was.
Yep. They bet the Dolphins. I remember when the Broncos were running an undefeated season a few years back. They were, at that point, I think they were 14-0 or 13-0, and they came to Giants Stadium. And the Giants weren't very good that year, and the Giants somehow beat them. Do you remember, Frank, Mercury Morris and all those?
Yeah.
They were all drinking champagne. They were on, you know, on the sports networks, like ESPN had them celebrating. Yay! I mean, at least that's honest to me, Frank. Because any athlete or team that says, oh, I would love my record to be broken, that's bull.
No, that's a lie.
Come on.
Well, yeah, want to hear something funny about the Dolphins? They got such a busted ass. Remember when the Chicago Bears had, they went 13-1 or 14-1?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The team that beat them was the Dolphins.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that. You know, I read about that because obviously it was 1985, right?
Yeah. The 85 Bears were probably, they say, was the best Super Bowl team ever, would beat anybody that year. They were just very dominant. And they probably would be right. If they're not right, maybe one team would be better. Maybe one of the Niners teams. But they still do. And they were mediocre at best. The Dolphins had a losing record. They beat them in Chicago.
That's because they probably laid down. And, they, you know, when you win so many games in a row, sometimes you get complacent and comfortable. And you think by just showing up, you no problem. You got a victory. God, I love sports. Sports are just...
But talking about odds, it was a big lay. If you took the Dolphins, you got back serious money when they lost to the Bears at home.
Wow. Wow. But the Chicago Bears did get back up, dust themselves off, and win the Super Bowl that year, though, right?
Oh, yeah, they won all the way there.
And they also...
They
beat our favorite team that year.
Yep.
The Patriots. I think it was, what was it, Frank, like 57-3?
Question.
It was something crazy like that.
When they had the little man with on their helmet.
They weren't
the New England Patriots. They were the Boston Patriots.
Right. They had those really white helmets.
Yeah.
Anyhow, now football is right around the corner. And I don't know if I've mentioned it on the show before, but, you know, it's August right now here on the East Coast. And I don't know if it applies to the rest of the country, but here on the East Coast, we have four seasons, obviously winter, summer, spring, and fall. So toward the end of August, I always remember that I used to smell school. That may sound silly to most of everyone out there. I used to smell school in the air. The season's about to change. It's the end of summer. What it really is like there's less humidity toward the end of August. So as I got older, I started to smell football. And today, Frankie, this afternoon, it was like 32% humidity, Frankie. Actually, it wasn't this afternoon. It was early this morning, around 8 o'clock, and I smelled it, Frank. I smelled the football in the air. It's coming. It's upon us. It's so close, Frankie boy. And speaking
of... You're right. Let me tell you something about football. See this preseason, all this garbage. Some of the stands are half empty. This guy's getting hurt left and right for no reason.
They got to get rid of
it. No reason. They got to get rid of it and put two more games on the regular season and just give them the goddamn money and just do it. That's what they should do.
The problem.
I mean, this guy got hurt. He said the bad tackle when they tackled the Bradford.
Yeah.
Who sucks? Low hit. That's a preseason. What is he doing? It's a preseason game. You want not to ruin the guy's career for nonsense?
Preseason
should be.
That was a legal hit. The NFL said it was a legal hit, and he shouldn't have been flagged.
Yeah, but it's like the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. You don't rough tackle. It's a preseason game. He made the team. He wasn't a rookie trying to start out. He was wrong.
You know, I kind of agree with that, Frank. I mean, most especially the quarterback position that we mentioned on the show a lot. There's only 32 in the world. And half of them stink, you know?
You know, if it's a regular season game, and legally I can see it because that's the difference. But in the preseason game, and you made the team, you're a good player. Yeah, there was no reason to do that. This guy has a weak knee to start off with. That's like hitting a guy with glasses.
Yeah, it's cold. I didn't agree with that hit. Illegal, whatever you want to call it. You don't go for a guy's knee. You know, Bradford had like 3 or 4 knee surgeries already. He's going to, after, when his football life is over, Frankie, the poor guy's going to be needing a cane in his friggin' late 30s and early 40s, without a doubt, to walk. I'm assuming only because of the abuse his knees have been taking so far these many years in his young life, without a doubt, Frank. And by the way, tonight is the last night for preseason games. Next weekend there aren't any preseason games, and obviously the following weekend are the real games. Also, Frank, when you mentioned that they should drop the preseason games, problem is, Frankie, a couple of my friends, you know, they got season tickets. And when you buy season tickets for any team in the NFL, the preseason tickets are included. You have to buy them. And that's awful. Who wants to go and watch practice? You know, maybe once in a while you do want to see practice if you drafted like the number one pick or the number six, you know, a high draft pick. Maybe you do want to go out of curiosity and see what the guy does. But even in that realm, he only plays a few minutes. They protect all the starters in the preseason, Frank. What they're doing is they're putting in friggin' third, fourth, and fifth, you know, stringers.
How does it work? The Jets get one home game or two home games every preseason? How does it work?
I couldn't tell you, and I don't even consider them games because it really
is. Not.
It's practice.
What they should do is say, the season ticket holders, they should say, listen, we're getting rid of preseason, but you get one more home game.
There you go.
The same price. They'll do it.
The players' union, when they renegotiate, they should just get rid of the preseason altogether and maybe add an extra game to the season. I would love that. Another week of football, Frankie.
No, I think I should 2 weeks. Also, they could open up the stadium for the ticket holders to watch the practice. Just go there, have some popcorn, have a beer, and watch the team's practice without starting a game. Nobody gets hurt. Why would you want to lose your quarterback before the season? That's a long season for Bruce Bradford. They made all those deals to get him. His knees are 100%. And to lose him in a preseason game, that's not good.
No, it would be horrible. It would be tragic. It's pretty tragic that Jordy Nelson is hurt for the Packers. That is Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy.
That's like taking Gronkowski off the Patriots.
Yeah. I would say that. I would agree. I absolutely would agree with that. 100%. Because Gronkowski makes a huge difference. And speaking of Gronkowski, I want to bring up Graham. Graham used to play on the Saints. He got traded to the Seahawks. I cannot.
The Seahawks.
Man, you'll never let that Super Bowl go.
No, as long as I live, they're finished. The worst thing ever in my life, ever in football I've ever seen.
Frank, we were bringing up odds before. Now, we said that the Giants were 14-1. So many people bet on it, they lowered it to 13-1 for the Super Bowl. Now, they do that for the Super Bowl. Like I said, they give you odds, you know, that you just put money on. But on a normal basis, during the season and the playoffs, you got to take the spread or give the spread, whatever you decide to do. You know, take the points or give the points, whether you bet the favorite or the underdog. Now, that's odds. Now, when it comes to boxing, Frank, okay, I'm just curious. What odds are the most lopsided odds you've seen personally yourself in Las Vegas? Heavyweight, lightweight, middleweight, doesn't matter. But where a boxer is so favored, I'm just curious because it's a question that I'm going to bring up with another question. What's the highest? What's the answer, Frankie?
Michael Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
What would they? I heard that game was that fight was off the board in most casinos. You couldn't bet.
It was like $1,800 to bet 100. You had to win.
So you got to bet $1,800
to win 100.
Okay. I'm glad you.
And it went up to two, and it went up so high, it went up to 2,000. Then they start taking it off the board. Then they put circles around. You couldn't bet too much money. That
all
was
right.
The big one. That's your question. To answer your question, that was the biggest lopsided one I've ever seen.
Great, because I got this little nugget. Next week, America's favorite boxer is having a boxing match. Floyd Mayweather Jr. will be boxing next Saturday. And now, the odds, Frankie, I saw them. I saw them in the paper, the odds. Then I went online, saw them online. I had to double check because I could not believe what a heavy favorite he is. Frankie, he's minus $3,200 to win the fight. Mayweather is a minus $3,200 favorite. I personally have never seen odds so high, so lopsided.
No, that's a world record.
Now, can you please explain, if you want to bet that fight, and let's say, Frankie, I want to put $200, I want to win $200, and I want to put it on Floyd Mayweather, how much money do I have to put up?
$6,400.
So I got to put up $6,400. I have to risk to win back.
Yes.
Who is going to bet this fight is my curiosity. Who?
Mayweather.
Give me a break. 32-1 odds, Frank. Well, 1-32. Let's say if you're, you know, a big time high roller. You want to win $1 million. You got to put up $32 million. You got to risk $32 million just to win one back. Are you kidding me? That is ridiculous, Frank.
That's exactly right.
That's outrageous. And I'll tell you something. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because last week I happened to mention on the show about Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, how Pacquiao all of a sudden is making a boasting that he doesn't think that he lost the fight to Floyd Mayweather, that he thinks he should have won it. I brought that up last week, and our show goes live on Saturday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Now, usually after we do a show on Saturday nights, we get it put on YouTube. So if you missed the show, you could watch it, catch up to it on YouTube. If you enjoyed the show, hey, listen to it again, whatever. But
also, you can get the pics. If you want to get the pics, you can go listen to it.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, we're going to probably do the Twitter thing and everything. Well, we'll take care of everybody out there, but we're going to have some fun. Trust me. We're just actually just trying to fill up airspace until we get to the football season, which is only 2 weeks away. Can't wait. Anyhow, usually our show gets put on YouTube, and you could, you know, go to Google. You'll find us. There's a show. And so for the last several months, what is it, Frank? We're on the air now, what, 7, 8 months, 10 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Our show goes on YouTube, and you can access it and listen to it. Well, anyhow, last week, our show was put on YouTube, and then it was taken down. Now, I was wondering, what happened to the show? Why isn't our show on YouTube? Why is it missing? What's going on? It was posted. It was put there for your listening pleasure, because I know everybody gets pleasure out of listening to us. Just kidding. Anyhow, our YouTube video was taken down by none other than Sony Music and Entertainment Corporation. Yes, Sony. Maybe, because I mentioned about Mayweather and Pacquiao potential rematch, that I stated in my opinion that I think they're going to have a rematch, where everybody was, you know, after the first fight, nobody thinks they want a rematch because there's no interest in one, and most especially when you got a boxer who's running away from any other from the other boxer. It's a joke, okay? It's just a joke. There were no punches thrown. It was just a lot of dancing. And prior to the fight, you could look up our show on YouTube if you want to, and you could listen to the show before the fight even happened. And by the way, Frankie Puma, my partner here, he went and saw the fight live. He was at ringside, fifth row up. All right? But before the fight occurred, we stated here that there's going to be a lot of dancing. If you're going to watch somebody just run around and get chased and play defense, it's not going to be that exciting. You know, the end result is going to be the most entertaining part for anybody who's going to watch the fight. You know, you want to see who wins or loses. That's your biggest joy, because the fight itself is a snooze fest. Anyhow, our show was taken down by Sony Music and Entertainment, because last week I said that Manny Pacquiao started, you know, his camp is stating that, hey, Manny doesn't think he lost that fight. No, he thinks he won that fight. Where Manny Pacquiao, after the fight, didn't say two words, and for months after the fight didn't say anything.
Yes, he did. He said his shoulder was broken.
Yeah, his shoulder this. Yeah, then they came with the shoulder. But you know what? That shoulder, nobody's biting, Frank. Nobody's buying it.
Of course not.
All right, so now they got to start off some kind of baloney controversy stating that, oh, he thinks he won. Oh, grudge match. Ooh, let's sell that, promoters. Nah, not going to work. And I'll tell you something else. I also said last weekend that Mayweather is fighting a bum. And I asked Frankie, what were the odds on this bum fight? Okay, because he's fighting a stiff. Saturday night, coming up, he's fighting. And he is a 32-1 favorite. You want to win 100 bucks, you got to lay over 3 grand to win that 100. Nobody in their right mind is going to risk 3 G's to win a buck. Sorry. Okay? No way. But the reason why he's fighting a nobody is to make sure he stands at 48-0 right now. But if he beats this bum, which he'll probably knock out in the first round, maybe the second, is because he'll be 49-0 after he beats the bum. So, obviously, the next fight, if he wins, he'll be 50-0. Hey, congratulations. It's a milestone. Even 48-0 is a milestone right now. 49-0, whoopity-woo. That's still, you know, even though he's a bum, that he's fighting a complete bum, okay, he's going to win the fight. So he's going to be 49-0. So they're going to promote this fight that Mayweather's going to fight his 50th. He's going for his 50th straight undefeated fight. He's going to break records and blah, blah, blah.
The only record he's going to break is Marciano's record.
Whatever. Oh, that's right. But that's a heavyweight record, okay? The heavyweights have
That's the only record he's talking about. No, nobody else ever retired champion undefeated, except for Marciano. That's the only record he's talking about.
But you know what? The weight class is a day and night. Because when you're in heavyweight, you actually have to fight, Frank. Okay? Because you're a big guy. You're not really fleet of foot in there because you're, you know, most of these guys are usually around 220 pounds, all right? So they're not.
Or 240 or 230, they'll take your head off. You know
exactly.
What?
Exactly. And they're
want,
not.
If people want to watch a dancing match, they can watch Dancing with the Stars.
Exactly.
Pacquiao fights Mayweather. Watch Dancing with the Stars and save your money.
Well, look, I mentioned it last week that I smelled a little controversial promotion nonsense, you know, because all of a sudden Manny Pacquiao decided to open his mouth, which I don't believe he has, because I think his camp, his promoters, managers, whoever starts this garbage, he doesn't think he lost the fight, blah, blah, blah. Give me a break. And Mayweather's fighting a bum, so he could be 49-0, because God forbid he fought a halfway decent fighter and he might lose, then it's insignificant to fight.
He won't fight Triple G. I mean, it's a couple of the guys he's avoiding, believe me when I tell you that.
Give me a break. Anyhow, we were taking
but,
off
know, Pacquiao bought the Pacquiao bought the Philippines. He owns them out right now.
He's a
so
good
he
guy.
He needs to fight. Yeah, needs
Pacquiao's
a good guy, yeah. But
he's a good human being.
Brain.
You know, he really is a good human being. The guy has built hospitals and schools, and he really, really does not forget where he came from. The guy could easily, Frankie, with all his money, which, by the way, cleared over $160 million the last time he fought Mayweather or danced on him, because I'd prefer to say dance. And Mayweather made over $220 million personally. That's almost $400 million between two guys. I know they have managers to pay, so on. I don't care. That's still a lot of money, okay? Great, make it, earn it. It's beautiful, great American dream, blah, blah, blah. See, Pacquiao, Frank, he lives. He lives in the Philippines. He could easily be a sellout and say, you know what? I'll go move to the States. I'll buy a house in Beverly Hills, Miami Beach, French Riviera, buy an island. No, the man lives in the Philippines. He loves his people. And I got to respect that, Frankie. I got to. He's a good person. And believe me, everybody that paid to watch that fight, everybody watched it to see if to watch Mayweather lose. Because I didn't hear of anybody that's looking for Mayweather to win. Nobody wanted him to win. Nobody I know.
Yeah,
did you want Mayweather to win when you went to the fight, Frankie?
Nope. Because I wanted him to shut his big mouth.
Right, but unfortunately, because I know you and I know you so well, even though you want him to lose, you still bet him and won. That's just
money has nothing to do with personality.
But wait a minute, Frankie. You bet on Mayweather, but you still wanted him to get knocked out. That doesn't make sense, but it makes money sense.
Yeah. Well, you're going to figure out. I'll explain to you when I do the football bets. You'll see.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
There's a reason for my madness, and it works.
Well, I just want to get back to real quick and end it with it. That's Sony Music and Entertainment, okay? They tried to get rid of last week's show because we have our fans out there that listen to us. And once again, thank you so very much, and I appreciate it. And please hold on listening. Wait till we get to the football season. We're going to have so much fun. I promise you that. They took us off of YouTube, and we got the show put back on. All right? So I'm warning people that I care about you. You're spending time with me weekly. Me and Frankie are getting to spend time with you guys, and we really do appreciate it. It's our pleasure. So if I smell a rat, I'm going to say I smell a rat. And if the first fight sucked, how are you going to make a rematch? How are you going to sell it? You're going to sell it as a grudge match. Pacquiao thinks he won the first match. He doesn't even want a rematch, but he's going to fight him so he doesn't get his 50-0. I could build this fight up that maybe I could sell this fight as well. That kind of nonsense. Anyhow, Sony, leave our show alone. Thank you. It's my opinion, and I just happen to be an honest person, so leave us alone. Anyhow, Frankie boy, the countdown begins, Frankie. We got one more show, Frankie. We just got to get over this hump next weekend of doing one more show, and then it's gravy time, Frankie boy.
Is the decision? We'll have a decision with Brady by then, by next week. Was it? When are they supposed to be? Monday?
Frank, who knows? Who cares? And
I think Monday they have to have a decision by Monday. They have to go. They're going before the judge again. What's he got to do with it? Can't this guy make a decision, Goodell, and say, listen, you're getting two games or three games, just do it. The judge is going to side with Brady.
Well, they have to see the judge again, and that'll be like the fourth time. So I'm sure there are other important cases that involve the court system that actually, because it's a, you know, because of the timing, it's time-sensitive, this Brady NFL case, that you have to make – you know, provisions in order to hear the case out. I'm sure, Frankie, there are other pertinent cases that really need to be heard. So stop wasting taxpayer
dollars. That's what the first judge said. Remember, I don't want to hear this nonsense. Take care of it in New York.
Yeah, because it is nonsense. It is nonsense. And then, and they really, Frankie, something that turned into like a job work-related incident is turned out to be a lawyer-filled, like a double murder case with the science and the proof and the this and that. Give me a break.
You know what's amazing? Now that the media finds everything, IMC, DMC, Fox News, how come nobody ran over to these deflators with a microphone, say, what really happened? Did you? Why can't they be found? They were Jimmy Hoffa. Where are they?
They were Jimmy Hoffa. I don't know, Frank. You know what? That's a great, great question. I love it. I love it to pieces. Why
they should be outside their house and parked by their car? I don't want to talk. Put their head down. Put their head in the towel. Where were these people?
I don't know.
That's
I know where they are. I know where all these guys are, all these sports reporters, Frankie. They're all in front of Brett Favre's house. They're waiting to see what his decision is this year, no? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Remember that?
Everybody. If they wanted the smoking gun, they're the smoking guns. There's two of them.
Frankie. Who is, first of all, the reporters that have any interest in finding these guys would be a sports channel related reporter, strictly, because the local news really don't give a rip, don't care. It's not pertinent to them, and it's probably going to use some of their resources because they got to find, you know, hire a private investigator, locate these guys, so on and so forth. There's work involved. So who should be? You're absolutely right. This is a great question. So, Frankie, it's important, if it's a sports story, then a sports station should, you know, try and find these guys. Where's ESPN? Where are their reporters? They got a big-ass budget. They can handle it. Oops, forgot. They're in bed with the NFL. What about NBC? They got sports reporters.
How about the NFL?
Oh, wait a minute. What about CBS? They got reporters. Oh, they're in bed with the NFL. What about Fox? In bed with the NFL. And the NFL Network? Well, they're not going to do no real reporting. They work directly for the NFL. They don't want to be found. The NFL don't want them to be found to stir the pot even more. They probably want this problem to get swept under the rug like they do everything else and just get it over with. And you know what, Frankie? So do I. And so
how would you like
else.
To see – you know Brian Gumbel, right? He always had the sports show on HBO all the time. How would you like an exclusive interview before the decision with the players?
What are they thinking? What are they thinking? That's a great – let me tell you. It'd be the highest-rated show on that sports show for HBO, but they won't do it because they got ties to the NFL, because they do that Hard Knocks. Don't you get it? They're in bed with the NFL. Everybody's sucking the teat of the NFL. They don't want to rock the boat, Frankie boy. That's
too much cash.
Show me some good reporting, some crack investigative reporting. Go find these two clowns that took the air out of the ball. Go. They can't find them, Frankie, and nobody's going to find them. Nobody. Oh. It's just a big-ass joke. But you know what blows my mind, Frank? First of all, if the NFL wanted to find these two clowns, they would find them in 10 minutes because they spent over $8.5 million for this Deflategate investigation nonsense. Believe me, if they're going to spend that type of money to find out what Tom Brady did with his stupid cell phone, they'll spend even more if they really wanted to find these guys. End of story. It's just, it makes me sick. And what bothers me about all this, though, once again, we're not indicting the NFL. Could you give us credit? And I mean people, you know, all people listening to us and everybody else, that we have common sense, that you can't fool all the people all the time. You can't do it.
Well, they're going to try with Pacquiao fight.
Yeah, the Pacquiao fight. That's going to be a joke. You know what? I don't know how they're going to even sell. Well, I told the way they're going to promote it is that Pacquiao thinks he won, and it's going to be his 50th win. So this way, Mayweather could buy another $6 million car like he did last week, and that's a fact. Look it up on the internet. He bought a $6 million car last week. His check probably cleared from the last fight, Frankie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Whatever. No grudge against you guys. Just don't be full of baloney is all. We, you know what I mean? All this hype and nonsense, it's all baloney.
I'm going to run to the casino and put $500 on the dog, the bummy's fighting.
The bummy's fighting. I tell you what. Save your gasoline. Don't go to the casino. I'll book it for you personally, Frankie. You just send me the $500, and I'll give you. And by the way, you got to lay $3,200 to win $100 with. And this is a joke to me. You got to lay $3,200 if you want Mayweather to win back $100. So you got to risk that kind of money. But the other side of the coin, which I did not mention, I will now. If you put $100 on the underdog, you should get back $3,200, but you don't. You only get back 15-1. Frankie, that's obscene.
That's why they're in business. That's why they're there. And they could do it. They could do anything they want. Still go there.
Nobody polices them. And guess what? We'll be like friggin' zombies still trying to get through the doors in single files. Move out of the way. I want to get in. Yeah. They profit off our vices, if you want to call them that. I call it a hobby because, thank God, it's under control right now. And it'll stay that way. All right. Anyhow, everyone, thank you so very much for listening. Next week, tune in, please. Kickoff is coming. We're right around the corner. We can actually see the light at the end of the tunnel, finally, and it is pretty bright. Can't wait till football starts. It's coming. It's here. No more preseason games next week. There are none. So just tune in right here to EMW, and we'll entertain you for a little bit. And then from that point on, it's all about football, baby. Everybody, thank you so very much for listening. So appreciated. Thank you. Thank you so, so much, Frankie boy.
Okay. Good night, everybody, and be patient. We're almost there.
We are almost there, baby. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to EMW Sports on the NQBY Incarnate Broadcast Network. Be sure to tune in every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and join Dom Moff and Frankie Puma in the chat room. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter at EMW Sports and like them on Facebook at EMW Sports Broadcast. Goodbye for now from the corner of New York and Las Vegas. Until next Saturday night, take some notes.